about 9 years, I think. They didn't want children. Then later on, they decided they did want children, and they couldn't have any. But all that time, I was praying, I was believing that right from the beginning, God, give me a grandson.
Amen.
And now, 3 weeks' time, praise God, praise God, we'll be here. Hallelujah. And there's been many, many mountains to climb during that time. I'm not going to go into them in the marriage. Oh, my. But God has kept them together somehow, sometimes by prayer. Hallelujah. But never give up. God has blessed me too. My hand's a lot better. I fell over in the street running for a bus the other week. I think I broke a bone in my ear and smashed my face up a bit, but it's all healing. Yesterday was really bad, and I prayed last night. I woke up this morning, the pain of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Keep in faith. I want to speak just for a short time on the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't tell you this scripture. Can you get 1 Peter 1, about verse 9? It actually is the first verse in the book of Revelation. We won't actually pull that up, but it starts the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's such an important subject for Jesus Christ to be revealed. It's what is most important. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, just like a soldier going into battle, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. What's a revelation? I'm going to use a legal term so Brother David can put me right. Disclosure. When you pull the curtains, when you open the blinds, there's a revelation of the light out there. You know, and I believe that in a court, the judge can require an order of disclosure to bring forward evidence. Is that right, Brother? Somewhere near there. So you can hope that the evidence which has been concealed or withheld now has to be made plain and disclosed. And that is what revelation really means. Disclosing, opening up what the truth is about Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16, the famous verses of where Jesus asked Peter, or rather, no, he asked all his disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say that you are Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And I suppose those answers weren't really bad. This wasn't the answers that the Pharisees were giving, those who didn't believe. This was the general multitude of people that followed Jesus. They were trying to think, who is this man? What a powerful man. But they got a little bit of understanding, a little bit of awareness that he was certainly someone from God. Maybe it's the spirit of Elijah come back on him. Maybe it's the spirit of one of the prophets come back on him. But then Jesus said, but who do you say I am? And Peter makes this amazing statement. It is an amazing statement. He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, we've heard that so many times, and we may think it's a bit commonplace. Oh, yes, we know that. But that was an amazing revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ is that God in his Son in flesh is revealed. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. You can turn it around the other way. It's the same thing. And he said, Blessed art thou, Simon, bar Jonah. He called him by his original Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. See, it's the revelation, the disclosure of who he is. Jesus is the Christ. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you. And Simon, Peter, upon this rock will I build my church. This revelation. Upon this revelation. You know, I tell you, show you a little bit how difficult it is to catch that revelation. First of all, Satan didn't believe it. He took him up into a high mountain and said, if thou be the Son of God, make these stones into bread. But he didn't fall for that. Satan never believed he was the Son of God. And at the end of his life, Jesus came before the high priest Caiaphas, and they said, I adjure you, art thou the Christ? And he said, I am. And they didn't believe him. They couldn't catch the revelation. You notice how often it's those with, not always, but quite often those with very intellectual, very clever. That doesn't mean to say you can see a revelation. The revelation is often revealed to those who are simple, like me. I can't remember the list that Jesus said for a week. Praise God. If thou be the Son of God. Who else doesn't see it? Well, there are approximately 1.2 billion Catholics in the world, I understand, the figures. And I'm not saying that some of those are not Christians. Some of those will be believers, certainly. But within that organization stands for the fact that the rock is Peter. And they believe that they've got Peter's tomb in Rome. I don't believe Peter ever went there, actually. There's no evidence that he did. But because he said Peter, and Peter's name is a rock, a stone, upon this rock I will build my church, they say it's Peter. But I believe it's the revelation of who he is. There are about 300 million Protestants in the world, and those organizations generally believe that it's Christ is the rock. Well, that sounds pretty good. But it's the revelation of who he is. That's what Jesus said, the revelation of who he is. To have eternal life, you need basically three things. It needs to be revealed unto you that Jesus is the Christ. Secondly, that the blood cleanses you from all your filth and sin. Thirdly, that God is your Savior. The first is that Jesus, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Somebody said that, didn't they? Did I hear? Yes. Jesus is the Christ. Secondly, that the blood cleanses you from sin. And thirdly, that God is your Savior. Even Jesus said in Matthew 11, I thank you, Father, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Hallelujah. Isn't that lovely? The God who, of all the greatest intelligence, who created everything, he says it's revealed unto babes. Babies. What can a baby do? A baby can only cry out when it wants something. So at that point, I believe Peter became a living stone. A spiritual stone in the body of Jesus Christ. This revelation that came from the Father. In fact, all the disciples had this revelation that they knew it mentally at this stage, but they couldn't yet declare it. They didn't have the faith or the understanding to declare what they said. It says in John 6, do you remember when he said, you must eat my blood and my flesh, else you can't be none of mine. And many of them left him at that time. And then he said, will you also leave me? And they said, but you've got the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The same word. So all the disciples, not just Peter, had this revelation. Jesus Christ is the living stone. Let me turn to Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says here, to whom, that's us, coming as unto a living stone. He's talking about the Lord. We're coming unto a, he's talking about him being a living stone. A revelation. Jesus Christ is the living stone in your heart. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God revealed in you. Paul talks about that the and Peter says, you also as lively or living stones are built up into a spiritual house. God is building his people into a house. Just like you would build this place with bricks and mortar. The house that God built is a spiritual house. It's made of spiritual truths and revelation which of who Christ is. Paul says in Ephesians 3, in whom the whole body fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. A place where God lives in the Spirit, and we're built together through this revelation. See, at that point when Jesus asked him, who am I? He recognized that he was the Christ. But once Pentecost had come, he then recognized that he was not just Christ, but Lord. This Jesus whom you have crucified, God has now made both Lord and Christ. The whole revelation was thrown open then. He's both Lord and Christ. Let's run back to Genesis for a moment. Remember how God, before man, when he was finishing the creation, said, let us make man in our own image. And he made man in the image of God. In the image of God made he them. Them because it was Adam. There was no Eve around then. It was just Adam. It was a man's world. You might say it always has been. But Eve was there. She was unseen. She was there. So the creation was finished. All creation had been finished. Then we know in Genesis 2, God creates man in the flesh. He was made in spirit form, in the image of God. Then he creates him in flesh. And of course, Adam is lonely. He needs a companion. And we know what God does. He puts Adam into a deep sleep. And while he's in this deep sleep, he takes a rib. Now, it doesn't mention creation yet, because creation is done, finished. But he takes a part of that original creation and makes out of the rib of Adam a wife for him. Now, the significant thing here is that she's got a different body from Adam now. But she has the same spirit. The same, you see, when he was created, Adam, he was in the image of God, the spirit of God in him. And when he separates off Eve, it's still the same spirit. They have the image of God in both of them now. Oh, I wonder if you can catch that. Do you remember at Calvary, God put his son into a deep sleep on the cross, having been brutally beaten, punched with nails, stripes, and he goes the sleep of death. And God, while he's asleep, the soldier comes and puts the spear in his side, and God takes out a bride for his bridegroom to be. Hallelujah. With the same spirit. Just like Eve, a different body. She looks different, the bride, but she got the same spirit. Then what happened? They chose the wrong tree, didn't they? There they are in the garden. with a wonderful relationship, Adam and Eve, both in the Spirit of God. Just a beautiful type of God and his bride, the Christian bride. But they both fell. They eat the tree, the wrong tree, the tree of knowledge, of good and evil, the tree of death. We're celebrating, well, not celebrating, but remembering today so much death of the armistice. But when they chose that tree of knowledge, every time man takes a bite out of that tree, is a problem. You eventually managed to find out how to produce gunpowder. Then atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs. You produce cars, which probably kill more than that's been killed in the world. You produce plastic. It's interesting, I was thinking the other day how men may have found made plastic out of chemicals and look what it's doing to the world. But with all the creation and all the elements there, God never created anything plastic. He never created anything plastic. This man has done that, and he's polluted it everywhere. I understand in Kenya, they ban plastic bags. It's interesting, isn't it, in Kenya? And there's, I think, some other, Burundi or one of the others have banned it. About time we banned them here, I think. Whatever man takes from that tree of life causes death. He's taken the seed of death is in man. Because what happened to the tree of life in the garden? Once they took that wrong tree, there was a guard of cherubims put around the tree of life. Which means it's gone back to heaven. Cherubims don't dwell on earth, they're in heaven. Christ, the tree of life, taken back to heaven. For man couldn't access him now. Because if they had eaten that tree, they'd live forever. But amongst all those that now produce, he says, replenish the earth. And they do replenish the earth. Massive amount of increase in the population. Most, they've all got that spirit of death upon them, the spirit of which comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But in some, there is another seed, a seed of eternal life, lying dormant. But like faith is everything that we have on in this earth, in this world, is from a seed. Our plant life is from seed. Our animals and our human beings come from seed. But that seed is corrupted. We've got a tree down the end of our road, a sycamore tree. I love this sycamore tree, it's huge. You know, and about in the autumn time, it starts dropping off. You know what these sycamore leaves, they've got like a little seed and they're like two little wings on it. And they come off and they fly down like a little helicopter. We used to play with them as kids. And they land. And I thought, isn't it wonderful, wonderful design? I believe in intelligent design. I don't believe in evolution. But I believe God designed it like that way. And in the autumn, these seeds, there's thousands and thousands of them all over the street and on the pavement. And I thought, why? Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Gordon. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thought, why is there so many seeds from this sycamore tree? Because out of all these probably tens of thousands of these little sycamore blades, maybe one or two germinates, drops into the ground and germinates. It seems strange. But then I looked at man, the human being. Now this is mind-boggling. Do you know that the human male produces 1,500 seeds every second? Every second. Yeah, I had to think, wow, is that really possible? And they reckon over a man's lifetime, He produces 525 billion seeds. 500 billion seeds in the lifetime of a man. And yet he may produce one, two, three children on average. The woman, she has a fixed amount, you're probably aware. She's born with a fixed amount, it never grows. And in fact, that amount drops considerably by the time the woman, the female is mature. It's down to about 400 eggs. And then it continues to reduce as she gets older. Now just think, about all those millions of human seeds, only one has to find that egg and start to produce a baby in the womb. Aren't you a miracle?
Amen.
You, each one of you, are a miracle. You're one in a million. What intelligence decided which of those seeds should come into that egg and produce you or me? Isn't it so wonderful? It's not random. It's God's planning, God's choice. So many seeds. Abraham was very abundant. What's the word? Proliferate. Even after Isaac was born and Ishmael and Sarah died, there was Keturah. He had many children from them. And all the Arab nation from Ishmael. Tens of thousands. He said to Abraham, in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thee. As the stars in the heaven and as the sand upon the seashore. Now how much sand is there on the seashore? Look at that mount. That's the seed of Abraham. Remember though, basically this seed is fallen. This seed is the seed from the tree of knowledge. So not all that seed is the seed of Christ, of the revelation of Christ. But he says, because we're all got that carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peter was spiritually minded. He caught the revelation. Paul says in Galatians, now to Abraham and his seed, the promises are made. Which is one. Not many seeds, but one. That one seed is Christ. Jesus Christ is the seed that produces life. All the other seeds got death in them. They can't germinate. He is the stone that was set at naught, at nothing, by the builders. Just at Pentecost, Peter says, this is the stone that was set in Acts 4 by the builders. Who are these builders? Some builders, aren't they? The one stone, the cornerstone, the stone which was alive, the stone which could produce life, they rejected it. They disallowed it. Some builders, these Pharisees. I used to know a lovely Christian man, Irish he was, but I had a difficulty understanding him sometimes. Because they talk out of the side of their mouth. And he used to do all the odd jobs around the church. He's very good. Lovely. Did a lot of little bits and pieces, everything that he's doing. And he used to say to me, he said, Rabbi, I'm a Mr. Builder. I'm a Master Builder. I'm a Master Builder. I thought, Master Builder? Wow, I didn't realise that. He was getting on, he's in his 70s. I thought, wow, he does do a few jobs, but a Master Builder. And later on, I realised he meant to say, I'm a Mr. Builder. He was okay for the jobs around the place, but in no way was he a master builder. But this Jesus Christ is a master builder. The other set everything to naught. The stone which the builders rejected. Let me just find that. I remembered it now. There is no salvation in none other. Hallelujah. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You need that revelation. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the filling of the Spirit to see the revelation. Otherwise, you're just believing on Jesus as a historical figure. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then you can catch the revelation and live it. And then you know you're part of that building, that spiritual building. You know that Jesus Christ is a revelation in your heart. So what's the purpose? What's God's purpose upon the earth? To establish the name of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ upon the earth. It's a relationship in a spiritual body, in a spiritual building. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What does it say in Philippians 2? That every knee shall bow. Of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. In heaven, the angels, the supernatural beings in heaven, of those on earth, every creature on earth, and those under the earth, all Satan's kingdom, all the kings of darkness, God will enforce the name of Jesus Christ at that day. But we have an opportunity to accept that name, that revelation in this day, to accept the baptism of the Spirit, that we might receive eternal life. Satan's purpose is to take away the name. That's his job. He wants to take away the name of Jesus and put it, he will love you to say, well, this is my church. This is where I go. This is mine. But it's not my church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is a mystical body of members made up in all different assemblies.
Yeah.
It's not any one church. He'll want you to say, well, I'm Pentecostal. Well, I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. God never started any organization. Men did that after the revival. They didn't know how to continue the revival. They started consolidating it all and making out their statements of faith. I'm not going to go into them. But that's his job. To put a mark. That we've all heard of the mark of the beast. In Revelation 13 it talks about this mark on the right hand or the forehead. And it says it's the name of the beast. The name. But in Revelation 22, the last chapter, it talks about the bride. But she also has the name in the forehead. The name of Jesus Christ in her forehead. The forehead here is the control tower of man, isn't it? There's some beautiful patterns of the way the church has grown up from the feet, just like Nebuchadnezzar's great vision that he had, his dream. The body of Christ has grown up through the body, through Wesley, Luther and Wesley, and then up to Pentecost as tongues, you know, getting the voice. But there's one stage higher, the intelligence, supernatural intelligence, with the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the mark of a Christian, the name of Jesus Christ. Let me just read that. So maybe you've never read it or remember it. It's the last page of the Bible. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So it doesn't mean they're going to tattoo it on. It may well be in the natural that the number of the beast may be tattooed or put electronically in hands, but it's essentially talking about a spiritual marking. Who are you going to be identified with? Who are you identified with? Now, I'm a British citizen. I was born in this country. My daughter-in-law is from Brazil, but she's gained British citizenship by going taking through certain exams and that, and her English, so that she could become a British citizen. But I was born here. So if I'm going to be a real Brit, then I have to be identified with Britain, with its glory and with its shame, with everything, because I'm British. When I think of the World War One, the figures I looked at sounded a bit different from Brother Daniel's, but I'm only looking at figures. They reckon there was about 40 million casualties in World War One, of which about nearly 20 million were deaths. The number of deaths were millions in the first year, and they'd never known such casualties because of the machinery and the weapons that have been produced. And that's in 1914. You've heard about mustard gas this morning. Artillery. What man does with that old nature. But I, as a British, have to identify with everything Britain has done, good and bad. I was there at the Battle of the Somme. I'm identified with Gallipoli. When they went through the Hindenburg Line in northern France, when the British troops went there and broke through the trenches, that was right at the end of the war. I was there. I identified with them because I'm British. I'm with them. Everything that Britain stands for, I have to stand with it. Whether I might not agree with it all, like Brexit. It's a mess at the moment, but I have to stand with what's going on. And same way as a true Christian. I have to identify. I'm identified with him. I was there, as Job said, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Hallelujah. Because I'm part of that revelation that's eternal. I was there when Abraham was tempted and had to told to destroy and sacrifice his son. I was there. I was there with Daniel. I was there in the lion's den with Daniel because I'm of the same spirit. I'm a part of that building. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's in me. It's eternal. Eternal has no beginning and no end. That eternal seed has been made manifest in me through the baptism of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And I know I'm a part of him eternally. I was there. I was wrestling with Jacob that night when he wrestled with the angel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And of course, I was there with him at Calvary. Hallelujah. I was there with him when he was nailed to the cross. I was there with him when he gave up the Spirit. I'm there with him when he rises from the dead. And now I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just want to ask you this morning, can you be identified with this Jesus Christ? Are you ready to be fully identified with him? To know that the revelation of Jesus Christ is in you. Jesus Christ, the revelation of God. God himself, that tree of life. You see, the scripture speaks of him as the tree of life, but then John comes along and speaks of him in different language of the day as the bread of life. If anybody eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Is that right? He shall live forever. He's eternal. And so you were in him before the foundation of the world. He said, all that whom he foreknew, then he also predestinated. See, he foreknew you, the ones who are his. He foreknew, predestinated that you might be conformed to the image of his Son. The image of Jesus Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many. And those who he predestinated, and this is where we come into real time, as it were. He called. I remember in 1971, I was not in the church. I had no Bible. I was married. I'd gone away from anything about God for 12 years. I prayed for him, as that was Sunday school, and I wasn't a Christian then. But 71, he said, well, I went into a village hall like this. I don't really remember what much of what it was about. And God spoke to my heart and said, Rod, follow me. He called me. Those he predestinated, if he's predestinated, he will call you. I just thank the Lord for Kevin here. Kevin's been coming several weeks now. And, you know, this week he said, I've been reading the Bible all week. Praise God. I believe God's going to give him the revelation. I believe he's going to give him the revelation. He's going to be baptized in the Spirit.
Amen.
Set him free. Deliver him. Can you be identified with him? Yeah, where was I getting to? Called, predestinated, called. Those who he's called, he is justified. That means you're clean. You're not guilty anymore. Hallelujah. The law, you're not under the law. You're under grace. So you can do what you like. Oh, can you do what you like? Yes, you can, because what I like is what God wants. You've got a new spirit in you. You only want to do the things that God wants to do.
Amen.
You don't want the things of the world. We sang it this morning, didn't we? The pleasure of this world. We don't want to know them anymore. And those whom he's justified, them he also glorified. Praise God. He's done it all. So if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. I pray the Lord. If there's anybody here that doesn't really know that revelation this morning, you know, it's so easy to sit in a church, and even for years sometimes, but and know about, all about Jesus, and say, yeah, he's my Lord, but never had that revelation. I want to just pray, if there's somebody here this morning, I just want to pray for you that God will reveal to you, or strengthen that revelation, that you might receive the baptism of the Spirit. Because Paul said to those in he met, I think he was at Ephesus. Have you received the Spirit since you believed? Since you believed. So you believe first unto salvation. Have you received the Spirit? They said, well, we know nothing about any Spirit. And then they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and they received the Holy Ghost. We need to receive that. That is really the new birth. It is a birth. Salvation is a birth of the soul, of the heart. A lot of Pentecostals, a lot of these prosperity teachers, they believe that the new birth is a growth. You grow into the new birth, a new spirit. But the birth is instantaneous. Then there's a growth. There's a growth subsequent to that, growing into the fullness of salvation. But you need to have that birth. Praise God. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for the patience of people just listening this morning. I pray, Father, Lord God, that we may be certain and sure that revelation of Jesus Christ is real to us, Lord. That you are the Christ. That you have cleansed us from our sins, Lord, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that God Almighty, through the shed blood of Calvary, is our Savior. And that when we come to the end of our salvation, Lord God, that we may know that we are part of that building of whom you, Lord God, are the foundation and the headstone and the cornerstone. We're part of a spiritual building. And when we come, praise God, when we come to the end of the days, just hallelujah. He said, oh Lord, there's a verse I wanted to just share with you. Yeah, in Revelation 21. It's always puzzled me when he says, come and I'll show you the bride. And instead of showing you a bride, he shows them a building. Let me just read this last verse. Come hither, in Revelation, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. I've never been able to put the two together. He's showing him the bride, but it's a city. But it's that building, it's that spiritual
Amen.
Building,
yes.
The holy habitation of God,
Amen.
Which with the revelation of Jesus Christ is all in all.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
Amen.
God.
We just give you thanks, Lord Jesus, this morning. Lord, may that revelation, Lord, take a hold in our hearts as we
yes.
leave this place this morning. As we are identified with so many things in the natural, Lord God. Lord, may we also be identified with the spiritual, Lord, that we've been taken from that tree of knowledge, that old tree of violence and greed and selfishness, and translated into the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord God. May not one, Lord, leave this place this morning without knowing, Lord God, that is a certainty. I pray in the name of that Son of God, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the God.
Amen.
Awesome God,
Amen.
How great Thou art. You are God, mighty are Your miracles. We stand in awe
of Your holy name.
Lord,
we bow.
Revelation 21, he was talking about the coming of the church, the coming of the building as a bride of Christ. And I want you to understand that collectively, God has made us his bride. He has called us into that position where we all come together to the knowledge of him. And I want to implore, I want to talk to you this morning, I want you to talk to yourself this morning and say, am I part of the bride? Do I know Christ enough? Do I have that revelation? Can the Holy Spirit tell me about Jesus Christ? He says, the comforter, I will give you that comforter who will teach you everything about me. What do you know about Jesus? What do you know personally about Jesus? Is it the fact that you come to church and you do the morning service and you do the evening service and but have you known Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, as the bridegroom that is coming to take you as a bride? Have you seen him as him who knows you personally, who lives in you, who reveals himself in you? As the Holy Spirit teaches you more about Jesus this morning, I want you to be challenged by this message. Not just to tickle your hair. Not just to flame you up, but just to continue to be the flame of light in your life every day. To know more of Jesus. To know who Jesus is. To have a revelation of who Jesus is constantly. The disciples were with him for many, many years. But they had an inkling of who he is, but they don't have the ability, the faith to reveal who he is. Maybe that's who you are. Maybe you're thinking, if I tell someone about Jesus, how would I explain it to them? How am I going to show them that I know this Jesus? This morning, you've been challenged. I've been challenged myself this morning. That maybe I'm one of those disciples that have been there, but I don't have enough faith to know that there's power in the name of Jesus to break the yokes that I'm carrying, to take the burden that I'm carrying. Maybe I'm that person that is churchy, and I know that this is my church. But this is the church of Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm that person that just feels, yes, I come to fellowship, and I come to the gathering of people, but did not know that I have Jesus in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. This morning, I'm challenging you as I've been challenging myself this morning. And I'm asking you to just say to God, create in me a new heart, O Lord. Create in me a new heart, O God, this morning. Let the revelation of Jesus Christ be renewed daily in me through the Holy Spirit. Let there be an infilling of the Spirit of God in my heart this morning, so that I might know more of you. I might know you the more. I might grow with you the more. Just pray this morning. If you want to pray out loud this morning, just feel free to pray out loud. Just for some few minutes this morning, just pray the prayer of faith this morning. God is building his own people. He's building his church. He's building his bride. He's building. The Lord is making you different from the world. He's putting his mark upon you. He's putting his glory in your mind. Just speak to him this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name because you can talk to us, Lord, in the language that we understand. And this morning you've spoken to us once again and you've revealed your word to us, the truth of your word. Lord, we don't want this word to stand against us in judgment. But we want to reflect on your word and say, yes, there'll be truth. We've been challenged. And our life is being renewed in Christ Jesus. Father, as we go out of this place this morning, let us go with the revelation that you've given to us this morning into new grounds, into new level, into new stage, building ourselves up in holy faith, growing from strength to strength in Christ Jesus, so that we prepare ourselves for the return of the King. Father, bless us this morning as you bless our heart with your word, with understanding and wisdom to know your plan and purpose. Heavenly Father, we pray for a better understanding of who you are and what you are. Bless us, O Lord, so that we might be a blessing to the world. So that our faith may rise and we might reveal the Lord Jesus to the world as we have received. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, King of Glory. For every heart that has not known you or come in contact with you, Lord Jesus, we pray that you will reveal yourself to them. So that your revelation will continue to grow in them. We pray for Gavin this morning. That, Lord, he will grow in strength, in understanding, in grace, Lord. Father, you will fight his battle and you will set him free. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you. Thank for our brother that you give, Lord. I pray that you will bless him. You will empower him the more, Lord. You will replenish him, Lord. And he will also not be left out at the end of this journey of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We wait for your return. We look up to him who is able to save our soul.
Amen.
And we pray that Lord will not grow weary of waiting for you to come. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And now we say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your singing. Huh? Isn't it wonderful?